gravity-fed water filters. That is the magic word for guaranteeing you pure fresh water regardless of what happens. You can find a river, stream, some source, any source of water. These filters will make them pure as the driven snow. Berkey's been a big name in filters for a long time, and we've had many sponsors to sell Berkey filters all over the years. And we have a new relationship with GetBerkey.com, and let me tell you why. Because not only do they have excellent supply of British Berkfield, as well as the American Berkey, but they also sell an array of filters that are the ceramic variety, you know, the ones that James McKinney has mentioned and recommended. So now you can go to GetBerkey.com and custom build the perfect system for you, a stainless steel, the plastic, the British Berkfield, the Berkey, the ceramic, the typical black filters. You know, there were some problems a while ago with the black filters. I had some that leaked as well. But that has all been fixed, and I'm confident they're okay. But since then, people have kind of went to the ceramic filters like Dalton. And so I really appreciate people at Get Berkey for putting together all these systems to let you choose. No one's forcing you to take any particular brand or variety. They'll educate you on the website about what is what and how to do to combine them. So what you need to do is go to our website and click through on our links to Get Berkey. That's Berkey, the British Berkfield, and the Dalton filters, all there, the ceramic as well as the black filters. GetBerkey.com, and tell them Beat the Fire sent you. So click through on our links to Get Berkey, and you will get Berkey. Also, for Feet to Fire listeners, people at Get Berkey has put together a coupon for 5% off your purchase. 5% off your purchase. Just put in F2F. That's a digit 2, F2F, as a coupon code to get an additional 5% off. And, of course, orders over $25 are free shipping. So there you go. Get Berkey and Feet to Fire. What a team.
That's great. It starts with an earth. Birds and snakes and airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Churn world serves its own needs. Dummy serve your own needs. Beat it up an ox. Beat grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Bite down. High wire and a fire. Representing seven games in a government for hire and a combat site. Left to west are coming in a hurry with the furies breathing down your neck. Team my team reporters baffle Trump. Tether crop. Look at that. No plane. Find them. Common food, but it'll do. Save yourself, serve yourself. World serves its own needs. Listen to your heartbeat. Dummy with the rapture and the reverend and the right. Right, you patriotic, patriotic. Slam, fight, bright, light. Feel it, pretty sight.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
TV hour, don't get caught in four towers. Slash and burn, return. Listen to yourself, churn. Locking in, uniform and book, burning blood. Letting every motive escalate. Automotive, centering. Light a candle, light a motor. Step down, step down. Watch your heel crush, crush. Uh-oh, this means no fear. Cavalier, renegade, steer clear. A tournament of lies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives. And I decline.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world.
You can contact James live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose direct chat with James or join the official group chat room. You can send email to James at f2f@ipsmediaworks.net. There is a video chat room to see James in action, as well as other F2F listeners. www.ivisit.com has the free software to download and access the Feet to Fire video chat room. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
All right, we are back and we are live talking with Bob Fletcher. BobFletcherInvestigations.com is the website and how to get a hold of him. We are going over the logical proofs and assertions and evidence for where the trillions. I like the former senator from Illinois, Dirksen, years ago. I think it was even in the 60s. He said, a billion there and a billion there, and pretty soon you're talking about some real money. And now it's a trillion there and a trillion there as we're trying to figure out where the $17 trillion in the deficit has gone and what could you possibly buy with $17 trillion. And what Bob Fletcher has been talking about is buying life after Planet X. And welcome back, Bob.
Hi, thank you.
You know, I actually have had Catherine Austin Fitz on for a couple of interviews, and we were talking about this huge amount of money, and I asked her where she thought it was going, and she had two possibilities. One, a breakaway civilization, either underground or, well, actually two, underground or in space, is because
and
the money...
both of them.
Yeah, it's so much money that you can't spend it on anything other than this. So that was kind of an interesting answer from her.
Well, no, as a matter of fact, I've never heard her. I know who she is for the most part. I never heard her speak. Unfortunately, I think she's right on both counts. I know that I'm right on the underground facilities, and I believe the chances of us having colonies already on the backside of the moon or possibly on Mars. It is a reality, and it may be embryonic, it may be very small, I don't know, but I have a feeling because there's other parts to that and reasons that I would even say that. Otherwise, basically, I would just say, hey, if the cost factor of doing these underground facilities worldwide, see, now we're assisting... financially, we're assisting people in other parts of the world to do their own similar operations. So like the Russians, for example, they really couldn't afford to do what we could afford to do. And, of course, since we had everybody else's gold and before not, you know, it's really carte blanche. I mean, it's good enough to be able to steal all the money from the taxpayers, but... to have all the gold from the world's reserve in our backyard, and us having the only key into the vault, you'd be guaranteed that's whatever. Okay, so let me hit on. There's so much to this. As a matter of fact, when I got into it, you know, originally it started off slow with me. I'm looking at it, again, just logically. What could you do with it? And then something else crossed my desk, and something else, and I regenerated recently. Contacts and talked to people that had been in the Central Intelligence for a long time. That good guys or whatever, trustworthy people that were Americans that a long time ago either dropped out or mostly dropped out of what was going on because of criminality and. And I got to him and said, hey, you know, when did this happen? How did that, and da 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 da. So in all the picture, the pieces of the puzzle fit together. And like, I was talking about the seed vault, and that being that just a huge international and operation for many years. God only knows how many billions of dollars they've spent just on that. And you're correct. I couldn't remember, but it's on an island off of Norway, It's, you know, of course, if they have one or two, one tsunami could really do a number on this. But it is actually built with the idea into the side of a mountain at a high elevation. It's built on the basis that if a tsunami comes in, they can lock it down, and you're still going to be able to retrieve billions of seeds to replant the entire Earth. Now, here's what happens scientifically. So a few of the scientific parts of this thing. First off, I discovered that the sun, for example, all of the solar flares, which we have had, and by the way, if you don't keep track of them, you don't know. Who cares about solar flares anyhow? A couple of years ago, I wouldn't have cared about solar flares. But now that I understand them, and I also now that I know that the cycle and the amount of solar flare activities off the surface of the sun is more than has ever taken place in 1,000 years of miscellaneous recorded history, going back that far. It's not an 11-year cycle. There is an 11-year cycle, but it never reacts like it is today. Today and yesterday, a solar flare blasted out again that's big enough that when it hits here, which will be Monday or Tuesday, when it hits across Earth, depending on where it hits, if it happens to slide around the magnetic shield that we fortunately have by nature, if it blocks it, that's okay. If it slides around it, it's going to put out power. Right.
No, I read about that flare as a M1. That's not tremendously strong.
No, it's not. And it would have to be one that, in fact, like I said, slides through one of the holes that we have. But Janet Napoliano quit as the head of Homeland Security a couple months back. One of the first things she said after leaving was that we are going to get hit with a solar flare big enough to shut down electricity in the United States and possibly the globe. She said it's not if, it's a matter of when.
Well, I would agree with that, but the time frame would be the only part of argument.
Yeah, certainly the time frame is whether it happens 90 years from now, maybe we don't care. But additionally, Woolsey, the fellow that was James Woolsey, was the head of the CIA. Echoed that same, within a very short period of time, as a matter of fact, the same statement. These people have probably got good tickets to go underground someplace. You're familiar, I guess, I'm thinking, you're familiar with the what they call ghost cities in China?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've seen the
okay.
documentary.
Here's what you have. Here's what you got, folks. You got the Chinese government for several years have been building cities. They are the size and for the number of population equal to New York City, with the capability of housing millions of people. They are full, complete cities. They are set up just like as if you said, okay, I want to just prefabricate an entire city. We need water. We need electrical. We need buildings, we need manufacturing plants, we need places, shopping centers, we need all of these things that constitute a city. They have built 10 or 13 of them. They are building them today as we speak, still working on them. They are all of the highlands of China, up in the mountains, some of them, and also in Mongolia. And they are totally, completely empty. There is not a human being living in any of these, except for those that are maintaining it. And by maintaining it, I mean a couple of security people and maintenance people just to make sure that they're okay. Why would they do that?
Well, the official statement is that it's part of the working program, keeping people employed or whatever, was the official release
on it. Right, which is totally ridiculous. Okay, which is absolutely ridiculous. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Nobody builds entire cities to hold 10, 15, 20 million people in them and have no one living there and to keep building them. You don't do that. There is an agenda here. There is a reason why they had geologists 10 years ago do a complete study that said if there was major earth movements within given areas of the highlands of China, which places would be moved upward, which places would have the highest elevations, and which ones would be the most secure if, in fact, there were tidal waves coming in. Where would be the best place to put places, all right? That's where they have put these cities. And the point is, and I don't know what's underground at any of these. I don't know anything about that. I've not been able to find out anything about that, you know. But these people, first off, you know, they're not stupid. It's not, you know, you could say, oh, gosh, they built a place because they thought it was going to expand. They thought that the money was going to expand and we were going to need a place over here or a place over there. But you don't build 10 or 13 of them. One or two of the cities is built in West Africa at the request of the West Africans. You know, well, what's with that? See? Okay, so...
Yeah, I mean, pretty wild.
Right, and again, you know, a lot of people say, "Oh, well, the Chinese—they don't know what they're doing." I got news—they beat the pants off of us in the last 40 years. You know, we used to be number one at everything, and we permitted ourselves to slide down to be number 14 on almost everything. You know, I mean, I'm ashamed, you know, as far as that's concerned. Okay, so but let's put that aside. A little bit strange, a little unusual. You know, build cities for millions of people. Now, so, okay, Bob, here's a question. If this thing is so big and all of that, how come we can't see it? Why can't I go out in the backyard, put up my telescope, and see this thing? Well, first off, it's where it is located. It's coming from out past Pluto and heading inwards at a very high rate of speed. But the distance is such that... rate of speed also becomes very relative. How long is it going to take to come close? Its entire orbit is said to be 3,600 years. 1,500 out, I guess, and 1,500 back. But the now that we have good infrared telescopes, we do have pictures. We have a lot of pictures of it.
Really?
Interestingly enough, Google Space pulled a slick one a little while back. Some guys were looking for it using Google Space and taking consecutive pictures, photographing, given it where it was supposed to be, and they located it. And they found it on Google Earth, and they went on, I think it was on YouTube. 2 days later, Google Earth put what was a huge square blacked-out space on Google Space that blacked out that entire area in space on the Google Space. I mean, the guys got pictures of it day before, they got pictures of it the day after, and if you went in with the latitude, longitudes, and outer space identifications, you would find a big square black with no stars. It was actually blacked out by Google. CNBC television has reported on it. They've done a basic report on the thing. All of the foreign Russia reports it on a regular basis on their television news. They say, hey, here's where Planet X is now, here's where it was last month, and here's where it is now. And so the foreign press is covering it. The United States press is not, and that's all there's to it. If they do it in a joking manner. Now, we have had increase in meteor activities. In case, you know, again, this is something some people miss. They do periodically tell us, oh, gee, there's a thing that came flying by over here, and there's a thing that flew by over here. All right, that's been increasing by unbelievable numbers, and it's because of Nibiru's effect. It is actually pushing things towards Earth in front of itself, so to speak.
I do remember a few years ago, NASA made a statement that said we were going into a more densely populated part of the galaxy.
Right, that's correct.
There was a little, so then, you know, you would have more these events. Now, that could be because that's the way they're spinning Nibiru, but, right. You know, a lot of the stuff that's being mentioned here, a lot of stuff that you have said, I've already heard. Mm-hmm. The problem I'm having is, I guess, making Nibiru the only possible explanation for them.
Well, I guess it takes a multitude of pieces to the puzzle to put it together, and then all of a sudden you start to see the picture. You know, and if you only have, you know, if you're working on a puzzle and you only have you're missing a few pieces, it's hard to ever figure it out. You know, but once you get 80% of the pieces together, you can look at it and say, oh, I see where this is going. You know, another example, scientifically, astronomically, the planets going out where Pluto is and coming inward towards the sun, it's getting hotter. All those planets in the farther side of our solar system are heating up progressively. They also are being affected in terms of their individual orbits. They're wiggling a little. They're bouncing a little. They're being a little strange. The chemical surface chemicals that they check on, which, by the way, is done by using spectroscopic infrared telescopes and measuring the variation in color coming out, and that tells them what chemicals are doing what and the chemistry of the surface of the planets and all that stuff. All right, that's how they do that. People always just say, oh, well, how can they check? But that's how they do it, and it's done with spectrographic analysis, et cetera. The bottom line is with these that they're getting heated up and they are being affected starting out in the outer side of our solar system. All right. So something is affecting them from that point. Now, guys, the geologists that dig down into the earth to the side of the mountains and do these tubular extractions of core, what they call core drilling, and they go down into a mountainside or into the bottom of the ocean, and they can pull that out and they can analyze how many years over different periods of time, going back maybe 3 to 5 or 8,000 years, or even farther than that, 10,000 years, they look and they see that in about a 3,000-year period of time, progressively going back, there is a layer of non-growth on the Earth that represents approximately 100 years. In other words, where they pull it out, it would be all this variety of growth. They can actually tell you what kind of life was growing during this period of time and then how many trees or how many animals may have been and all that type of thing. So they do that with core samples of the Earth. They go back and they find out that in these 3,000-year cycles, there's about 100 years of interrupted about 4 or 5 times. That means something hit the fan every 3,000 years. Now, of course, the big deal is to say, well, you know, the next question is, do we really think it's going to hit in our lifetime? You know, everybody talks about, you know, end times or when something like this is going to happen and it's going to, you know, really mess up life on Earth. But, of course, nobody wants to sit down and say, well, it might happen in my lifetime. You know, that they don't want to talk about that. Everybody subconsciously was scared to death of that possibility. You know, this is not friendly evening table conversation we're having. You know, so people get very spooked and very paranoid subconsciously, whether they even realize it. They don't want to talk about that possibly happening. But somebody upstairs that has more information than you and I are worried about it in their lifetime. They're not digging the holes for their grandkids. They're not digging the holes for their great-grandkids. They're digging the holes for themselves. They're not getting the bullets to control the American citizens. They're not buying them for their grandchildren's application. So on the concept that that they're doing this, I mean, this is all reality. Many of the food places that do the freeze-dried and survival foods were given surveys only 60 days ago that said, how much food can you supply? Can you do it in a 24-hour notice? How many truckloads could you get done? And how much of this? And how many MREs, meals ready to eat? And how many tons of potatoes? And how many tons of clarified water, et cetera, et cetera? Can you supply FEMA on a 24-hour notice? You know, and that was only a couple of months ago. That came out. That questionnaire came directly out from FEMA. You know, so you know, my point is, you know, these guys at the highest levels are used to ripping us off for a few million dollars a month, so that they can buy a new Rolex and a couple more places in the Bahamas. You know, that's their regular thing. But when they stop doing that and they start just digging holes and buying survival foods, I start getting seriously concerned. And this is what we're faced with. All of these things that I have said are an absolute reality, period. It's not something I've made up. Everything I have said can be looked up if you know, a person wants to bother with it. You can find it someplace out there in the news media, so to speak. You're not going to find it on CNN. You know, they hardly covered this afternoon when they sent in the riot control on a handful of veterans trying to get into their memorial.
Right,
today.
Right. You know, the mainstream. Well, here, I mean, I've been listening, and I have some questions.
Go ahead.
The way that I don't know if the word is problem solve or try to fit the puzzle, put the puzzle okay. together, is to come up with a theory, an answer, proposal that would cover as much, if not all, of the evidence as simply as possible. I guess it's somewhat of the Occam's razor type thing. And what I've come up with, as far as the sun, for example, the sun seems to be actually the most inactive that it's been. We're coming off a two-year low that could be actually historically the most quiet the sun has ever been in history. And the
where are you getting that from?
Because there was about 600 days where there wasn't a single storm, a solar flare. This is going back about a year, year and a half. And then finally the sun is starting to get more active. And the stuff that's happening on the sun is, it's happening, but it's not tremendously big. It's actually less than one would expect. This is supposed to be a solar maximum, so it's way less than.
Okay. Did you see that about 25% of the face of the surface of it was blown completely?
No, that was
into a hole there.
Yeah, that was very significant, and I noticed that.
Oh, okay. So, boom. It only takes, I mean, we're talking, and literally that was about what it was. It was something like 24% of the entire side face of the sun popped open.
It was at the
hole.
Top. I think it was like the
yeah,
top, yeah.
Right, whatever, however you,
yeah.
That would be described. But that just terminates what you just said, though, in terms
well,
of being
no, actually,
the quietest it's been. You know?
I mean, that event was remarkable. Okay.
Right.
But
okay.
we'll say the other stuff around it. So I mean, I'm not saying that. For example, what I think happened is, if I can go back, is that when Hale Bopp came in, it came very close to the sun, and I happen to adhere to the theories of James McKenney that it's electrically driven universe, and that when it came through there, it discharged a lot of the sun's electricity, which is why it was quiet for a while. And why it's unnaturally quiet, it should be in its maximum now, and it isn't, and so forth and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that could
okay.
And that could explain, mm-hmm. explain,
well,
and that.
Well, let me respond to that. First off, Hale Bopp, relative to the sun, is totally insignificant, nothing. It's just like a piece of, it's like throwing an ice cube into the middle of your fire.
It really wasn't, though. It was pretty big. It was planetary sized. There was another planet.
But, it, again, see, we even have to remember, you know, and we tend to miss this. If you take the sun and you say it's the size of a basketball, a flea is about the size of the Earth next to the sun on a basket. If you use the basketball as a sun as a size, you know, the size is totally almost non-relevant, especially the comet was... you know, that was predominantly just frozen.
I don't want to get into the discussion
sure, okay.
Well, and comments,
go ahead.
But the point is that we'll say this. Okay, we got the sun. As far as what's going on with the Earth, one of the things that I think might be happening is a forced collapse, in where you have all these elites going down in these areas you're talking about. And saying and watching the rest of the world just totally collapse, come out again at some future point and try to establish order. Now, believe me, that's terrible.
Why would they do that? In other words, That does not. If you do the yellow pad thing with a logical and non-logical, with a line down the middle, that doesn't make sense. They have total control of everything. Anyhow, at this point in time, unfortunately, you know, we're talking 4.5% of the wealthiest people and power structure of the Earth owns 41 or 47% of every dollar. That's their control factor already. They control the armies, they control medicine, they control everything as it is. Now, they haven't formalized it and gotten all of our guns and put us all into little boxes yet, you know, but it would be illogical for them to crawl underground for some period of time and just start political garbage and stuff up top and then come out later on like secret little moles coming out. That's not why they're doing that. They're not building these on that basis. They're building these and supplying them to save their individual butts.
Well, yeah, they're going to save
and
their butts.
But it's something that they do not have control of. So the next question is to say, what in the world would that be? Since from a worldly point of view, they do control it. They got all the banks. They could do whatever the hell they wanted to, basically. And it's seen. I mean, they do what they want, and whatever we say and grumble and bellyache about out here has no effect on those guys at all. And major investigations that I've been involved with, where we found people at the highest level of our government smuggling drugs and murdering people, and nothing happens. They have total control.
Yeah, but that's not. I know what you're saying. You know, I don't give the government. I don't give the people in power that much credit as far as being just all nicely kneaded together. There's 9 billion people on this planet, and there's a handful of them. So they may have, if you say they have all the military, well, the military made up of people as well. And if you have the people who run businesses, who build things, who sweep streets, those are all people. And at some point, unlimited quantitative easing, you're throwing all this money in there. At some point, the dollar has to collapse somewhere, somehow. Whether it tomorrow, next year, it has to collapse. And since the entire world market is propped up on the dollar, with the collapse of the dollar would be complete worldwide total chaos pandemonium for 9 billion people.
Which is very possible. As we sit today, that's a very possible event. Now, let me add another piece from my puzzle into this picture, all right? And that is that martial law, I mean, now I'm just referring to the United States. The rest of the world will follow, unfortunately. The United States, martial law absolutely must be declared before an intergalactic kind of a problem hits the fan, before the poop hits the fan with, let's say Nibiru, all right, before that takes place, they have to have martial law already in place. They can't, it can't be done after the fact. And it'll be so mind-boggling. I mean, we're talking Noah's flood all over again and all the rest of that. That's what we're talking about. If, in fact, this planet with its size and all the rest of it swings around like it's supposed to do, according to history. If that happens, martial law has to be in effect before the people of as a whole understands what's coming. They have to have martial law. Now, what's going to be, how they're going to do that, and on what basis this martial law will be declared, I don't know as we sit here today right now. I couldn't tell you, you know. But my feeling and my belief is that they will have to declare martial law before the fact, before the general public and by mass numbers has a clear understanding of what's forthcoming. And they have to already have us under the thumb. The president and his people will be underground the day that he does the announcement. That'll be on a pre-recorded video when he says, I hate to tell you, we must go under foot martial law for this reason or that reason. Whatever it is, I am declaring martial law. His tail, when you see that on TV, his tail is already going to be in his hole someplace under the ground, along with everybody else of any importance. And that's part of my puzzle picture, I'm afraid, and I hate to say that. So now the next question is, keep an eye out for whatever might constitute that ability or the reason to do martial law. I mean, it can be a biological plague. It could be an artificial flag, synthetic flag, terrorist event in five different cities and simultaneously in the United States. It could be gas. It could be electromagnetic impulse that shuts down electricity. I mean, it could be any of these things. At that point in time, martial law will be declared, and that'll be a preface to the poop seriously hitting the fan. If you simply go by what is perceived in terms of the size of this planet. And by the way, there's a tail. There are wings to this planet that fly off from the sides of this planet. That's iron ore from the surface.
I mean, where's this information planet about this? I mean,
I'll tell you what. If you go on, the best information is going to be my video, which is finished, it's a year behind. I have had, they have done such a number on me with this. You know, let me put it this way. I've completed 10 exposés in a variety of subjects, and some of them pretty serious stuff, drug smuggling, murder, assassinations, and all of that. I have had some problems, and a variety of problems, completing some of them. Nothing at all have I had that held me up almost a full year like I have on this one. I have had my computers burned up. I've replaced three computers in the process of trying to accomplish this. As we speak, I anticipated my film being sent off to production company that manufactures for me, and we gone back and I found that I've had electronic problems with it again. So as a matter of fact, I should have been able to tell you because I will not take orders for things that I don't have. So I'm not doing any advanced orders on anything at all. I should have been able to tell you tonight that next week I will have it in my hands, finished, ready to ship, and I can't do that. Yesterday, I thought I did. That's how up-to-date that information is. Yesterday, I thought I could ship my masters out, and today we found out that that's not the case, and it'll probably take me another couple of days to get it
okay,
out.
Okay, yeah, so you've...
But anyhow, there's neither here nor there. The best information is on that, because it includes film, footage of the planet now taken by infrared. Good. I have pictures of it that shows all of its the planets around it, the five planets around it.
Really? This is all very new to me, and I've had...
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the most important... And I got news. I even did work. I was hired by Noriega's lawyers to do a report. I have done reports for the Senate Intelligence Committee. This is the most important piece of work I've ever put together in my life. And I don't take this lightly. I am not a nutcase. I'll guarantee you that. Everything I'm telling you fits together in so many pieces and parts. It's mind-boggling. And this is one heck of a scary production. I will tell you that, too, because there's so much reality to this thing.
Where did you get the photos from it?
I've got places to get... There are people out there now that work for NASA, that from whom some things have come. There are some what you might call amateurs that are good enough to be working for NASA, except they're honest, and that would screw them up right away. There are pictures of it. There's even motion pictures now. Somebody put up a thing the other day you got to take the YouTube, you got to take all that with a grain of salt, maybe, unless you can, where it came from. I have pictures progressively that were taken in Sweden and Poland between 2006 and 2009 that shows Nibiru. You know, it's basically the reason we can't see it easily, and I interrupted myself, never finished that when I mentioned it earlier a few minutes ago. The best views of this thing is from the South Pole at this point in time. So it's one reason why they're not everybody's. You can't run out in Florida and look at the thing. Basically, it's alongside of and close to the sun and the moon where they rise. There's a very brief period of time where people are getting great pictures. And like I say, I have a picture of a sequential thing done from 2006 to 2009 that shows it in different places, coming in closer, where you can see either the sun rising or the moon rising and with it visible for a brief period of time. The NOAA installations, the weather installation down at the South Pole is getting some of the best pictures of it. There are some infrared. By the way, did you know that the Vatican built a giant infrared telescope in Arizona?
Yeah, to look for wormwood. Okay. I mean, these are a lot of
wormwood. That's it.
But see,
wormwood is Nibiru.
Right. A lot of the pictures I've seen though are clearly lens aberrations because these.
No. There is a lot of that.
Yeah.
There is a lot of that. I've got it where a lens apparition is doing a reflection on the lens.
I mean, for example, I'm looking right now at a picture, and it has the double sun, and the second sun is about as big as the sun. I mean, that's impossible by a number of ways. I mean, this picture I'm looking at, I'm not saying this is one of your pictures, but...
Yeah, no, I understand.
There's so many problems with the pictures I've seen are obviously aberrations, because you can have people looking at it across the street and not see the same item, and with parallel
its
views.
I do totally understand.
Okay, all right.
Lens refraction and aberrations and reflections and things of that sort. But and see, the reason that you remember when the Russians had the meteorite that came in and crashed into Russia there about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I hurt a few people and blew some windows out just from the shock wave of that thing.
Right.
Okay, nobody knew that was coming. Absolutely did not know that was coming at all.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, they were watching that other thing. There was another one that they were following for about a year that passed us, that went zipping by, and they were paying a lot of attention to that. Now, the reason they didn't see it is the same reason that Nibiru is difficult to see, and that is it's very brief, and it comes up close to the sun in from the trajectory that it's being viewed. You know, people also forget, you know, when we talk, if you ask a student to draw a picture of the solar system, it's, you know, they have a flat thing, and there's the sun, and then you have 8-9 planets going out in little circles around it. But we forget this thing is a constantly moving, four-dimensional kind of a thing. You know, it's we're moving, it's moving, the sun's moving, the earth's moving, the moon's moving, we're revolving, and you have all these multitudes of variables, and the idea of just being able to zip out and see this thing, which is coming in at a rather fast, high speed, it's very difficult. But there are now great pictures with all five of the moons clearly running around it, and it coming on in. It's when it reaches. There was an interesting thing took place here a little while back, not too long ago. There was a deal made with the Homeland Security and meetings held in Russia with the head of their Homeland Security, and they wanted to put together an exchange of troops. They wanted to bring in 15,000 or more Russians into the Washington, D.C. area as crowd control, specifically trained for crowd control. And we were, I think, supposed to also swap out troops for Russia if they needed it. But the terminology on the agreement was and by the way, this came from the fellow who is the Russian head of their Homeland Security. It was his statement, and he said he had a meeting with our directors, their leadership, to supply the troops. And it was in case of a galactic, I'm trying to think of the exact word, a galactic collision or galactic event or something of that sort. That was the terminology. And, I have to ask, and that was in a press release, again, from the head of the Russian Homeland Security. You know, and I have to ask right away, what is that terminology, a galactic catastrophe or something like that was what it was. And that was his quote in part of his press release. I just thought it was rather bizarre, but not in my case, because it fit into exactly what I'm talking about. That is what we're talking about, some kind of a catastrophe of a galactic nature. So anyhow, that was about 90 days ago or something like that when that happened. So, it's completely a matter of the multitude of pieces to the puzzle. And you can't make sense out of the loss of all this money, the use of it. And it is gone. They've admitted it's gone. They pull all these stupid things like saying, well, we're not sure where the Federal Reserve it went to some big bank and they spun it off to some other banks or something. And why can't they tell us who they're talking
to? There's definitely something, beyond huge going on here.
Right. And again, see, this is where you, right, and that was the conclusion I came to. Are you familiar with the Bigelow Space Company?
Yeah.
Okay, and you realize that they build space colony buildings for colonies on the moon or in the Mars or something like that. That's a big part of their thing, is creating those types of facilities that actually are simply like the space station, where they're screwed together in outer space. Mm-hmm. These the colonies that they build are similar to the ones for their space station, which, by the way, they do have one up there themselves already. And nobody talks about it. huge in-orbit space station, but they also have building the colonies that will be screwed together for, and I think that as an attaching kind of a thing, they'd be attached together and inflated for colonies on planets. They've been working on those for years. Now, something that I found out with all of my investigative background is when they come forward and somebody says, look at this new airplane design. We're working on this, and in 10 years, this is going to be, you know, we're going to be able to fly this thing, okay? Using that as an example. I have found out that when they see that, they've already been flying for about 15 years. And likewise, it goes for his space stations built by the Bigelow Company, who, by the way, I don't know if you're aware of this, they have the exclusive with the United States government. The Federal Aviation Agency has changed all of their paperwork so that anyone that experiences a UFO or anything that may be considered alien relative to outer space, if the report goes to Bob Bigelow's company first, and they are the buffer zone to the country for the United States government. So whatever power he's got, he literally has moved and has the exclusive agreement that everything related to UFOs or alien-type reports goes right through Robert Bigelow's Space Corporation before it goes anyplace else. I just thought that was kind of interesting. That's a reality.
Okay, but yeah.
And I just thrown that out. It's just a random bit of information. As it, you know, we I briefly talked about the possibility of colonizing.
Right.
You said that.
I think a lot of the Planet X bad taste in people's mouth might be because of a lot of the disinfo that has happened in the last 10 years. I mean, from Nancy Leader onward, you've had.
And I don't know anything about them. I know about my own background. I know about the reality, what exists and doesn't, and I know that one of my best friends was with Bill Casey, the head of the CIA, for many years, and I can get very abbreviated responses sometimes, you know, but I can say, has this happened or that happened, and I'll get a yes, it has. Or no, it hasn't. In some requests, but I strictly go by the reality. The reality is the money's disappeared. Where is it gone? It's gone in the holes in the ground. Period. And it's worldwide. They exist. They have plenty of pictures. I got films.
Yeah, there's no question about any of the stuff you're saying. There's no question about the holes in existing, the money, this and that and the other thing.
The biggest application on doing good investigating is, because you can eliminate an awful lot of BS real quick, and God knows there's more BS than reality in the lives of Americans as we speak. But the bottom line is, you apply common sense and logic. You know, you say, okay, all the money's gone, and they're doing these things underground, and they're buying tons and tons of food. I mean, you know, we're talking 18-wheelers and trains going into these underground facilities and offloading this stuff, and some of them not even being allowed to know what's inside the trucks, the drivers. So you see, why would they do that? They would much rather go to Hawaii with a $500,000 that they ripped off at some level in Washington, buy a new Rolex and pick up another couple of girlfriends, as opposed to be digging holes underground and spending all of this money to do it. So why? So then I go back and I say, what possibly could this be? And I have all these people coming to me, and again, my respected people at a high intelligence level, and they're just saying, hey, it's got to do with what's coming in, man. You know, they're not, you know, they've switched gears. They're no longer pursuing one world government. There's not going to be any government. These guys are going underground. They're going to cross their fingers and hope that they come out as some of the few that are going to survive this thing. Yeah.
All right. Well, then let's go. Let's move it to the next thing. It's like, so, you know, what should we do?
The truth is, and I would hope that I am completely wrong. I would love in 5 years if people look back or listen to some of my programs and just say, boy, what a nutcase that Fletcher is. He was so far off, it's unbelievable. Everything is wonderful here in the United States and around the world. Nothing like that happened, and it's never going to happen. Okay, I would wish that was going to be the case. But the bottom line is, if this thing is coming in as I believe it is, and many informed people do, and it is going to pass in our lifetime, and of course, I don't have a heck of a lot of time left anyhow. I'm 72 at this point in time. I've had 4 heart attacks, 1 stroke, and got implants in my heart and whatever else. So, matter of fact, I spent a week ago in the hospital. But that's neither here nor there. The bottom line is that if this thing is as it appears to be, if it is as big as it is and comes through and does it, if this was what apparently caused Noah's flood and has also come around previously and done a similar activity on the face of the earth, there is nothing any of us can do about it. Not a single thing. And we're not going to be able to knock the doors down at the holes in the mountains. And by the way, it's all biblical, too, which is kind of spooky. I didn't get into that. You know, it's extraordinarily biblical in terms of written, you know, in the Bible and so many other places. They call it wormwood. They call it the devastator. They call it the annihilator. They call it Planet X. They call it Nibiru, whatever you want to call it. It's in prophecies of all sorts of prophecies. And I have an opinion on that, which I won't get into tonight at all. But it's in the Bible. It's in every one of the Bibles, all the written statements. It goes back, like I said, to 2,000 years before Christ, scratched into 2,000 clay tablets that definitively explained the 10th planet. It goes back that far. But I mean, what I'm saying is, if it's as big as it's supposed to be and it does what it's supposed to do, you know, it's all over for us. So whatever. And eventually that is going to happen. But my concern is that these guys with controlling the money and everything else are running and getting their hideouts ready. There's got to be a reason, unless they've all gone crazy. I'm not the crazy one. You know, if they're doing
we're running the last couple of minutes. When sure. will your DVD be available? I guess a couple weeks, month.
I'm hoping in less than 2 weeks.
Okay.
You know, at this point in time, it's done. But then we had these electronic glitches have been imprinted in this damn thing over and over again for a darn year. It's a shocking piece of work, and it brings almost everything together. Doesn't leave much for a person's imagination.
All right. Well, it's Bob Fletcher Investigations.com would be the place to look for it, right?
That's right. And there's nothing on there right now about it at all. Again, I didn't want to get in a situation where a bunch of people, you know, trying to get it and order it up or something like that and not have it available. And
right.
That's been, unfortunately, the status for quite a while. But as soon as it is, I will let you know. And, you know, God bless everybody. I mean, I really hope that I'm just totally missing this. But if somebody can come up with a better reason for why they've taken all this money and put it into underground facilities and survival foods, they need to explain that to me because I'm missing it.
All righty. Well, Bob, I appreciate spending the time with us. We coming up to the end here. Bob Fletcher, investigations.com, and we'll be in touch. And I guess we'll find out. We'll find out eventually, you know.
Hey, I hope I'm wrong. You take care of yourself. God bless you.
All right, you too.
Thank you very much.
All righty. We'll be back next week. Reach for the skies within. With wisdom for the new. Revive our inner
inside. Retell your timeless truths. Oh, it's yours.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.